welcome to another great edition of Board Check. This one entitled All Stars. I think you guys can figure out why we're calling it that. I'm your host, Jeremy the Impact York. Thanks to the many, many platforms now who allow us to come on each and every week and talk hockey. And thanks to everybody here at Impact Media and Board Check. Lots we want to get into. I'm going to start with the ECHL action. I'm going to work my way back around to the All-Star game and festivities because Chris Farley was here. He'd go, it was awesome. It was. We already have the best playoffs. Hockey does. Already has the best playoff system. I guess they get the best All-Star game, too. It's fun. It's exciting. It seems like you actually learn something. But we'll get to that in a minute. Let's start out with the Swamp Rabbits. Once again, fans, I hear you. I'm going to start with Swamp Rabbits again. Of course, they had a... neither one of these teams have been on a real good slide lately, but, you know, things happen. They had the loss versus Florida the other day, 4-0, where Helvig had 23 saves in that one. They had the loss to Orlando following that, 3-0. 40 saves in the losing effort there for, what is it, Foot? Isn't that how you say his word? I'm not. Probably mispronounced it terribly. Sorry. Yeah, what a good Florida trip for the Swamp Rabbits when you get outscored 7-0 in two games. Yeah. But it happens. You shake that one off. And that, as T. Swizzle would say, you shake it off. Shake it off. Upcoming schedule for our Swamp Rabbits. For one, they're still in the middle of this, still in the thick of a playoff run, which they could very much do. Upcoming schedule this Wednesday, of course, that would be today. They have the game as they will host the South Carolina Stingrays, 7:05 puck drop on that one. They play this Friday. They will host the Everblades, hopefully to return the favor for the loss we just spoke of, 7:05 on that one. Special start time as they host Utah, the Grizzlies, I believe, 6:05 on Saturday. Then they will host Atlanta Sunday at 2:05. It gives you plenty of time to go to that. Come back to your Super Bowl watch party. Plenty of time. Super Bowl doesn't start until like 6:30. You're fine. Go to the game. Speaking of the Gladiators, they had the loss versus Toledo 3-2, where Conway and Aslan had the goals. Nell with the 43 saves in the losing effort. Then they lost to the Indy Fuel 6-1. Aslan with the lone goal there. Nell with 16 saves. And Halford with one in mop-up duty. And then last night, they had the loss versus the Utah Grizzlies 5-2. They hosted them, where Peterson and Malatesta had the goals, and Booth had 39 saves in the losing effort. Now, they also play tonight at 7:05, just a couple minutes from now, as they will host Utah again, and hopefully a way to get back and get that game back. This Saturday, they will host the Norfolk Admirals at 7 o'clock. And this Sunday, they will be in Greenville, as I just said, 2:05 puck drop on that one. That is not the travel game we are considering going to. Because you guys know, we are based out of the Atlanta area. And yeah, Swamp Rabbit fans, we heard you guys, among other people. We do like road trips. We got many coming up Impact Media-wise this year. And we are looking at coming to Greenville to not only meet you guys, but to see the Swamp Rabbits and get a feel for all the great, amazing things that happen over there. I believe that is like a 22nd or 23rd is a game we are considering going to coming up. Oddly enough, I believe it's whenever they face the Gladiators. Can we? There's the schedule. We have so many schedules around here. That would be Sunday the 23rd. That is a game we are very much considering, Swamp Rabbits fans. And we'll have more details as we get closer to it, obviously. But we look forward to meeting you guys. You guys, you know, maybe tell us cool places to eat. I do believe we're going to drive up there, see the game, and come back. But very much would like to meet a lot of you guys, especially the ones that traveled down here that we missed last time. But that's definitely something that we want to get into, and we're definitely do a trip this year. Might do one next year as well. We will definitely look into that. That sound means it's time to move on. Gotta love it. Let's start with the skills competition with the NHL All-Star Game. We had the usual suspects, so to say, as far as we had four events that we have seen before. One brand new event for the women, and one brand new event for the guys, and we will get into those as we get to them. First of all, we go to the fastest skater. Connor McDavid usually does pretty dang good in this. Auston Matthews usually does really good in this. Well, neither one of them won this. This was Matthew Barzal from the New York Islanders with a time of 13.175 seconds. Everybody was within a second or less of that. It was a crazy, crazy competition, but congratulations, Matthew Barzal, on that one. Save streak goes to the hometown goalie, Jordan Binnington. No, it was not set up that way. No. He got on a heck of a streak. Saved 10 in a row on that one. Congratulations to Jordan. Canes fans. Our own Jacob Slavin from the Carolina Hurricanes got the accuracy challenge trophy, 9.505 seconds on hitting all of the targets on screen. They had kind of a plexiglass lane screen they put in front of the goal. He had to hit little sensors. He won that one. Congratulations, Jacob Slavin, on that one. What a great story, too. Steps in because of an injury and ends up getting to be in one of the events and then wins the thing. Yeah, he's that good, guys. Hardest shot went to Shea Weber. It was good to see him back in that. Predator fans. We're all Shea Weber fans. We all still like Shea Weber. Maybe he returns somewhere down the road. It's fine if he don't. He does some great things up in Montreal. He won the hardest shot contest, 106.5. No, that is not your country music station on your radio dial. That is how many miles per hour he shot a puck. Yeah, 106.5. That is almost a full mile per hour faster than the best pitchers in baseball throw a baseball. Outstanding. The women's 3-on-3 game. Now, they basically played a version of the All-Star game where it was all 3-on-3 with a goalie on each side. They had multiple lines, just like the guys do. And this was the U.S. versus Canada. For the U.S., Hillary Knight had the goal. Alex Rigsby had 14 saves. On the flip side for Canada, and Renee, I think Debiand, I believe that's how you say that, had 15 saves. And Canada's Rebecca Johnston and Melody Doss. That means Canada wins 2-1. It was fun. Watching the women play, yeah, those girls can play. And some of them could definitely do some good things with, could hang with some of the men, I think. And then the other new competition was the Shooting Stars. It's where they went up to the kind of 200 level. They had a platform where they had to slide a puck off and try to hit ice. They were kind of nets. It kind of looked like a quarterback challenge as far as the way it was set up with some targets and stuff like that. And Patrick Kane tied with 22 points overall. Then they went to overtime where Kane took it there, so congratulations to him. One of the few players that got booed all weekend long, and many reasons why Patrick Kane might get booed. Insert your favorite one here. On to the game. Once again, this game, it was fantastic the way they did it. I love this 3-on-3 format where you take all four divisions and two of them play and two of them play, and then the people who win those two go to the finals. Fantastic. It really was fantastic. It started with the Metropolitan Division versus the Atlantic. Now, to be fair, I picked the Atlantic to win the whole thing before it all started. But Metropolitan versus the Atlantic wins 9-5. For the Metro, you had Carlson, Oshie, Seth Jones, all with goals, and Hershier with two goals in that one. For the winning team, the Atlantic, Duclair had a hat trick, Pasternak had a hat trick, Victor Hedman, Huberdeau, and Weber all had goals in that one. That put them in the finals. Who would they face? Well, I'll tell you. They faced the winner of the Pacific and Central Division, where the Pacific won 10-5. Kane had two. Scheifele had one. Perrin had one. And Tyler Seguin had one on the losing effort for the Central. For the Pacific, Tomas Hertl had four. Leon Draisaitl had a hat trick. Matthew Tkachuk had two. And Hughes had the other goal in that one. Well, what does that set up? That set up the Pacific versus the Atlantic. The Battle of the Coasts. The Pacific ends up winning this one 5-4. In the losing effort, Hedman, Huberdeau, Pasternak, and Bertuzzi. In the winning effort, Pacioretty, Pedersen had two, Draisaitl, and Hertl. Overall, it was just a bunch of great, great action. The MVP who won a Honda Pilot was David Pasternak, and hard to argue there. I think a Hurdle could have been one to think about as well. But, yeah, this format is absolutely the way to go. If you could make this format work in other sports, I think it would be really cool. It's hard to do. You know, with soccer, you could put less people on the field, but it's still just a gigantic playing space. You know, if you did a half field thing and maybe did a 7-on-7, you know, or 6-on-6, you know, maybe that sort of thing. But it's just hard to do in other sports. But hockey has figured this out. And then a lot of people are on the bye week this week as far as both teams are concerned. I am all but sure that they are all on the bye week and should have some goals coming up for us to talk about on the next show. But that is going to do it for us tonight. Shout out to all you amazing people who make each and every week fantastically fun. Come on here and talk hockey. But I'm Jeremy the Impact York. Thanks to Impact Media. Thanks to everybody who allows this to happen. We'll see you guys next week. Go Canes. Go Preds. Go Rabbits. Go Glads. Go watch hockey.